The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I should be writing number 403.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching the doctor.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Myrrh Lafferty, and I'm in the car because I've been putting this off long enough, so pardon the ambient noise. The deal is, folks, I've been in a slump, which is why I haven't put anything out in a while. Ditch Diggers is easy because we talk about something different over there, and I've got someone else to talk to. But after a while, I've been trying to figure out what more I have to say and I should be writing. Because I've been doing a lot of episodes for a long time. And it wasn't a conscious thought of, what do I have to say? It was a thought of, what's my next show going to be about? And then if I did highly produced shows, I would insert a sound of crickets chirping right here. It's just nothing's come up. I do have an interview with Sherilyn Kenyon coming up at the end of this podcast. There's no good way to say this, but soon after the interview, the news broke about her allegations towards her ex-husband of poisoning her. And I'm only mentioning this now because it feels weird putting up an interview I've done with her with that news out there, and we don't mention it at all because I didn't know. When I recorded this, that news had not broken. So it's, if you're wondering why we don't touch on that, that's why. But the thing is, I've been feeling kind of in a slump lately. I wanted to take December off, and I couldn't because I still had too much writing to do. I had some book burner stuff and my final draft of a book due that I still can't officially announce. But I'll just say that if you look for me on Amazon, it'll come up. So I don't know what the deal is right there. But anyway, I will tell you it's middle grade, which apparently has different marketing rules. Not rules. It's not like they have to do it, but practices. Different marketing practices than adult science fiction. So that's why it's coming out in July, and they still haven't announced it yet, because you don't do that with middle grade, apparently. And then I also had another outline due for something I can't talk about. So I didn't take December off. So anyway, I've been doing some writing work I didn't expect to have to do, and then, gosh, January was just a bad month of either illness or incident or travel. If you're getting that worried feeling in the pit of your stomach that I'm going to be leading up to the fact that I'm quitting, don't worry. I'm not quitting. I should be writing. But I have a sort of business manager. Man, I cannot enunciate. I just woke up from a nap, so I'm a little tongue-tied. I have somebody I talk to about my helping me work through my many, many different hats that I wear. And he suggested a couple of things. I think I'm going to start doing something similar to writing excuses in the way that I'm going to do a themed season. So I'm going to do a series of shows about a similar thing and then release them over a period of time and call that like a season or a set of episodes or something. And I think that'll help me focus on what to do next instead of just episode topic by episode topic. I will announce that this is something I've not cleared officially yet, but one thing I have been wanting to do is a lengthy interview with N.K. Jemisin about trilogies, but I want it to be heavy with spoilers because I want to be able to point to, so this thing happens in book three that you only hint at in book one. How do you plan that far ahead? Things like that. I want to get into gritty details. So I mentioned this briefly to Nora at Worldcon last year, and she said she was up for it. So the thing is, I want to tell you guys, I'm thinking sometime this summer, because I want to give you a chance to read the trilogy if you haven't, or reread the trilogy. Because like I said, it's going to be spoilerific, and if you want to understand what we're talking about, it's best if you have read the stories, the books. They are epic fantasy. Every single one of them has won the Hugo. These are groundbreaking books. So I'm hoping to get that going. Also, I'm going to be starting on a new book. And I think I'm going to be doing a series of shows based on actually writing the book. I'll be including more details in the Patreon feed and possibly some video. But as nothing's been announced yet, I can't actually tell you what I'm working on. But I can try to talk about the various things I am dealing with, whether it be word count or my health. Speaking of my health, if you're a longtime listener, you may know that a while back I was told I had hereditary hemochromatosis, which is a genetic condition that causes you to hold on to too much iron. And over a period of decades, your body will poison itself with the iron that it holds on to. It's worse for men than women because of the menstrual cycle. But now that they know what it is, they test for it and find it a lot earlier. And the treatment is good old-fashioned bloodletting. I won't go into all the details because it'll just make me mad, but I didn't get treated for it for a couple of years, and then this year I got a new hematologist who wanted to treat me rather aggressively to get my iron levels down, and I'm getting a pint of blood drawn every month. If you know anything about donating blood, you know that they only let you do it every 3 months, so this is quite a bit more often than the Red Cross even recommends. So the first three times were okay, but this past time kicked my butt. It was awful. I was, I always allow myself a day to be exhausted, but the exhaustion lasted for 2 days. The inability to exercise very much went on into the weekend, and I wasn't feeling like myself until a full week after the phlebotomy. Looking ahead, I'm worried that February's bloodletting is going to be worse, so I'll even try to talk about that. Because that's going to affect my writing. I have about 158 days to write this book, roundabout. So, right now I'm still looking at fewer than 1,000 words a day. But let's be honest, I didn't write today. I've been trying to get a couple of other things off my plate so I can focus solely on writing. And then there's that. So this is sort of a metacast around the Sherilyn Kenyon interview. Just telling you where I am, where my mind is. I'm feeling great about writing. It was weird that 2018, so many bad things happened on so many levels. But for me, it was the best year of my career, hands down. So this year is going to be heavy on writing. I'm also going to be working on a sequel to Six Wakes. This is for me. It has no editor, has no publisher. I just want to write it. So I'm going to write it, and at the very worst, it'll be released, serialized in the Patreon feed, and then eventually put up on ebook sites. So if you're a Six Wakes fan, there will be a follow-up coming. Don't have a title yet. I thought I had a title. I ran it past my kid. My kid was honest, so I still don't have a title. But anyway, that's the news with me. I'm going to be incorporating, trying to incorporate anyway, some more activity and some meditation into my life. And hopefully that will help with my focus. Then again, I've said this before. So, I'm trying to figure out the one change I can make to actually make that happen. We'll see. But let's get to the Sherilyn Kenyon interview. Also, I have her latest book and a little bag of swag that her publicist sent me that I'd like to send to any of her fans who may be listening. Well, one. I can only send it to one person. But if you're a Sherilyn Kenyon fan and you enjoy this podcast, just email me and I'll give it to a random person. Don't have to be a Patreon subscriber or anything. Just let me know. I'll give it like a week or so and then I'll pick somebody at random. But that's it. That's me. Oh, crap. Also, my website is kind of a mess, but I am doing a redesign. So if you go to the site and get frustrated, that all will be changing soon. So be patient, please. Yeah, okay, I think that's all my news. Is that enough? Okay, Sherilyn Kenyon, and then I'll just go ahead and sign off. I'm at merverse.com, mightymer@gmail.com. I'll be doing a feedback show soon. Talk to you later. Welcome back to I Should Be Writing, and I would like to welcome onto the show Sherilyn Kenyon, the author of so many books, but the most recent is Stygian. Stygian? G? Hard G or soft G?
Stygian.
Stygian. See, I checked with the pronunciation of your name before we started recording and did not check the pronunciation of the book because I'm a professional. Sorry about that. Anyway, tell us about Stygian.
I'm not ill-prepared.
Yeah, I know. It's frightening. This is what, book 29?
Something like, I don't count them. I'm kind of superstitious. It's like playing poker.
Wow.
So it's out there deep in the series. It's the first one that really goes in depth. I mean, we did One Silent Night, a decade ago, that dealt with the bad guys, but this one really goes deep. It's kind of like the Asheron or the Styx, mm-hmm, of the bad guys, so that we go back 11,000 years ago and we start from the beginning of when the Appellites were first cursed, and people who haven't read the series are going, what? But it goes back to the very beginning of the lore where, for those who don't know, the Dark Hunters and the Appellites are a cursed race who are kind of vampiric. They ran afoul of the god Apollo, who cursed them to die at the age of 27. So it begins with the very first generation that was cursed. So you get to see what exactly happened and what it was like to be that very first generation that, hey, I'm normal. And suddenly, no, I'm not. I'm cursed. And I'm going to die at 27 over something I had no participation in.
Right.
And, you see it through the eyes of that first generation that I've never seen daylight. And so I have to grow up watching those who are older adjust. And it to me, it's very poignant because you see this character go through 11,000 years of watching everybody around him fall and die. And then finding out he'd been lied to by so many different people. And anyway, I like it. But then again, I'm kind of partial. So I'm a bad person to ask.
Well, if you didn't like it, we would be having a different kind of conversation here that would be interesting, but strange.
Right.
Right. But
I don't want to do those panels. Wait a minute.
Yeah. So what really fascinates me, I have not done, I've only done two books within a series before, and then the series got canceled. So what fascinates me about the epic that you have created here is how much planning goes into this kind of thing. How much foreshadowing, how much do you plant a seed in book near the beginning that you know is not going to bear fruit for like three or four more books, and you know that the readers who pay attention, you're going to blow their minds, but other people may not see it at all. And I mean, it's like, that's the thing I always admire about people who do series, is they patiently can plan this kind of stuff out. But you've written so much of this series. How much is outlining, and how much is, okay, now I'm going to tell this person's story?
Well, I'm a big pantser, but you raise an interesting point, because I had a couple of series canceled early in my career. Most people think that my career began in 2002, but it didn't. It actually began in 1991.
Wow.
And those early series that I had the same thing with, you know, because I had 4.5 years where I couldn't give Alpo away to a dog kennel. So they when I started Dark Hunter, that was in the back of my mind, because it took me almost 20 years to sell Dark Hunters.
Wow.
So, yeah. You know, when I first started on, the publisher was not that gung-ho. It was kind of like, well, we don't know what we got here. We don't know if it's ever going to sell. And they had covers on them that, you know, these were contemporaries. But at the time, there was no paranormal market. So they put these historical-looking covers on them. And in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, my God, we're going to tank. Mm-hmm. Because the historical readers are going to be picking these up expecting a historical book.
Yeah.
Contemporary readers are never going to find them because they don't look contemporary. Oh, my God. So in the first few books, I kind of held back a lot because I really didn't think we were, you know, they had me convinced we're not going to go anywhere because, ooh, this is going to be bad. What have you done? And because the other books had been, I lost control of one series for 20 years, which is a terrifying thing. I couldn't write with the characters. I couldn't write in the universes. Totally lost control of them.
What do you mean by lost control?
You know, when you sign with a New York publisher.
Oh, you lost rights?
Yeah, I lost the rights.
Oh.
I couldn't. Yeah, that's why we didn't have lead books for a long time.
Wow.
You know, we went from God, when 1994, 95 until the next one came out 2009. There's a reason you had that big giant gap in them. So having been burnt that badly on a series, I started the league books in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that big giant gap. Having survived that, I went with Dark Hunters, which is my other, but you know, I started writing Dark Hunters in 1984. So when the books came out in 2002, it's like, oh, God, I don't want to relive this nightmare again. I'm going to be 90 before I get to write the next one.
Yeah.
So that was in the back of my mind. That's why, like, Fantasy Lover, there is absolutely no Dark Hunters in it. Because I'm like, well, if it comes out tanks and burns, I want to be able to still write these characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you really don't see me go really hard and deep into the series until really Night Embrace. Because then I'm like, okay, oh, I can breathe. I'm beginning to, at that point, they had bought like 5 or 6 in that contract. So I'm like, okay. I have a little stability now. Now I can begin to set up the series the way I want it to be set up. Did I answer that question? I think I did.
Not quite, but it was really fascinating. it's scary how, I think a lot of beginning writers believe that, you know, you'll sell a series and you'll get that trilogy, and if you get the contract for that trilogy, you'll write the trilogy. And
none
of that is guaranteed.
No, neither success or failure is ever guaranteed. It's always a hamster on a wheel. You're always hoping. But yeah.
But once you got into the confidence that this was a hit and it was going to continue, how deep did you start to go into the foreshadowing and the planting clues for later stuff, or planning things that didn't pay off for a couple of books?
Oh, all in. Now it's like, you know, well, and even recently, you know, my Chronicles of Nick kind of got sliced in half. All in. I mean, now it's like, okay, because of where I am in my career now, I know that it will, eventually the books will come out. So now I don't have that fear anymore. because I know the fans are going to be there, and especially today. Today, you really have so many options. If the publisher, something happens there, you can always go into self-pubbing. You know, you've got options that you did not have back when I started writing in the 80s and 90s. So, yeah, it's a whole different ballgame today. It's like, be fearless. Oh, my God, there's nothing to fear.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to recreate that feeling. I had the feeling before I got published, and now that I'm published, I don't have that feeling anymore, which is kind of sad because I don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I know my fans are wanting a book that my publisher didn't want, and so I'm trying to get up, figuring out how I'm going to, if I can, self-publish it. And, yeah.
Do it. You can do it.
I'm gonna try. Do you see the thing that stops me is editorial stuff. I'm guessing I would have to hire somebody, but I'm so impatient that when I work with a publisher, I'm working on their schedule. So even if I get something done early, it's still on their schedule. Whereas if I'm self-publishing, I'm like, I'm done. Let's put it up. And I would have to stop being a 5-year-old inside and, think maybe I should have other eyes on it. And that's where I start, still being a 5-year-old. Anyway.
Right.
Well,
there are great people out there like Laura Cifelli, who used to be, she was an editor at Dell. She was an editor for HarperCollins, Avon, a bunch of different publishers over the years. And she was an agent before that with Richard Curtis. So I know that she's one of the ones who freelances, and she's amazing. You know, oh my God, she's one whose instincts I always trust above and beyond anybody in the business.
Very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wrote that down. But I'm sorry. One thing I wanted to ask you is you are terrifyingly prolific. And I wanted to ask how your days go. And I mean, not only just you get up, you do whatever you do, and you do your writing, but also you work on how many books a year?
Well, as many as I can. I've always been a writer. You know, I came out of the womb literally to do this, which sounds weird, you know, but I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, I look at my kids because my kids are now like, God, Mom, I can't get a page down. You know, and what I constantly tell them is do not compete with me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a different, you know, and there are days I don't write a page. Really, there are days I don't write a page. There are days I can write 70, but there are days I don't write any.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the true statement. So, you know, this whole concept of you have to write a page a day, be true to yourself. Don't beat yourself up. And I think that's one of the worst things a writer can do. Life gets in the way. And it does happen to all of us. Be kind to your muse. And you know, because there are going to be days where you just need to lay on the couch and have a pity party.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. The worst thing I think any writer can do is beat themselves up and go, well, I heard Jerry Kenyon did 70 pages and throw yourself down the stairs. You know, we're all different animals and we all have lives and, you know, yeah, whatever you can do is what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And do the best you can, because that's all really that matters. You know, and I think that's, you know, for me, like I said, it's, I don't know what, I'm broken. You know, I have no other life. Writing is my life. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I really write all the time, but then that's how I relax. That's what gets me through hard times. It's just, you know, when I was a kid, I was a latchkey kid, which for people who don't know what that is, you know, I grew up in the generation where my mother went to work, my dad wasn't home, and I was home alone. I wasn't allowed to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they really want, we didn't have internet. We didn't have anything else to do. You sat at home and, okay, I don't want to watch 100,000 reruns again because we only had 3 channels.
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. So I wrote. That was my entertainment.
So when you're working on numerous books at a time, do you write one from beginning to end? Or do you write, okay, I feel like book A today, or I feel like book B today?
I try to write from beginning to end, but you know, if I said I finished every project I ever started, that'd be a lie.
Well, sure.
Yeah, and sometimes I just, most of the time, I just write them in my head. You know, I've got like 1,000 different series right now. I may never get to, because let's face it, I'm getting older, and
Yeah.
that does concern me. It's like, oh my God, I'm at the point where, you know, if I live like 20 years, you know, I'm kind of getting to where I'm. My grandmother used to say, I'm living on borrowed time. I'm kind of getting there. So, you know, that's always in the back of my mind now too. It's like, oh crap, hola, I'm older than both my parents were when they died. So yeah, that's kind of scary to me.
Well, self-care is very important, especially when you
Exactly.
realize that you have a completely sedentary job. So,
I know, get up, walk around, yell at the
yeah.
kids. Although my kids are gone now, so I have to yell at them over the phone. But walk around the house while I'm doing it.
Yes,
Get up, call
yes.
your mom. Why haven't you?
Exactly. Yes. So keep yelling at the children. That will keep you young.
Exactly,
We've come up with the
right?
idea. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That'll get me out of the chair long enough. You know, why haven't you called me this week? Where are you, son?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I did the same thing. Get a dog. A dog has to go out. That always helps too.
Yeah. Yes. But also, dogs get sick or they eat whole ham bones or something.
That's true. Well, so do boys. So
Oh my goodness. Okay.
they do incredibly weird things too, you know, like set the fire to the couch and climb the walls.
Well, I have a daughter and there have been no fires or ham bones eaten by her, but
See?
yeah.
Boys are very interesting. You know, it's like, why did you feel the need to climb the rafters, son, and split open your head? Well, it was there.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
You know what? The vacuum cleaner's also there.
Yeah, but they don't do that. That's not
Yeah.
interesting. That's not a personal challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, aging is something I think that a lot of writers struggle with. And I hear it from a lot of new writers thinking that they're too old to start now. And that just kind of makes me sad because I don't
Yeah.
think anybody's too old to start anything. But
No.
what would you recommend for somebody who just says, I'd love to do this, but it's too late in my life to even try?
Oh no, sit down and do it. Now's the time. I mean, you know, really, if the characters are there and they're in your ear, what are you waiting for? Go for it. I mean, no, what's stopping you? You know, to me, if they've chosen you, I mean, to me, writing is, it's like a calling. Those characters could have picked any writer in the world, but they came to you and they want you to tell the story because, you know, even if I told you this story, you would have your own spin on it. You know, so, and no, to me, characters are real living creatures. And it is, it's like they go head hopping around going, I don't think that writer's the right one to tell my story. No, I'm going to go over here. And I know that sounds odd, but I really do think that characters do that, that they just kind of head hop and shop around and go, that's the writer I want. And they pick us. And so we're kind of like almost under an obligation to go tell that story. And that at least is what I keep telling my sons when they come to me. And it's like, no, you have to go tell that story. They didn't pick me to tell it, they picked you. So you have to go write it. You're under an obligation now. Sit down and write it. What are you waiting for?
That's a very good point. I always tell people if they don't think they have new ideas, I'm like, if you do, if you take a vampire story with a young woman who is chosen or powerful in some way, who falls in love with a vampire, you just described Twilight, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Sunshine. And
And
those are
Dracula.
and Dracula. And those are very different stories with those that same premise. And you don't have to worry if you have an idea similar to somebody else. There's a difference between plagiarism and telling a similar but different story.
Exactly. It's, you know, everybody walks down the end of the street, but everybody has a different path.
Exactly. So, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but if you were to if there's anybody listening who is not familiar with your work, where would you suggest they start in your vast series of novels?
I always say it depends on, you know, do you like science fiction? Do you like fantasy? Do you like urban paranormal? It's kind of, you know, best place always is to go to the website where I have the different series broken out, and you can kind of sample around, see which one's your favorite, go with what you like best. You know, never be afraid to jump right in if you can't find the beginning books, because I tend to write where, you know, wherever you start in the series, you won't be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm that person, wherever I start in a series, I can never find book one.
Yeah.
So I respect that with other people. It's like, yeah, I know how it is. So, yeah, you know, just jump right in. Hopefully there, you know, I try to write something for everybody. So I've been writing a long time, God knows.
How, I know it's hard for authors to view themselves critically, but how would you say your writing has evolved over all these books?
I'd like to think it got better.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Things like Born a Knight I wrote when I was 18. So I really would like to think it got a lot better over the years. Please, you know, different periods. When I read them, I can tell what was going on in my life at different times. You know,
mm-hmm.
there are books that are more optimistic than others. So, I mean, anytime that you're going through stuff, you can see where, you know, life experiences have changed, you know, outlooks and stuff with me, you know. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things. Like Kiss of the Night was written while I was in the hospital with my mother. She was under, you know, she was dying and in ICU. So, I mean, it impacted that story a lot. So as you read them, you can kind of, I think that's true of any writer's work.
Yeah.
They're like windows to our souls.
Yeah. How do you keep track of everything? Do you have a detailed Bible or a wiki or a dedicated reading group? I believe your fans are called Minions.
Yeah, they
did that. Play on your last name? Or
yeah, they did that years ago, which God love them. I love my fans. They're so amazing. No, I keep it in my head, which is, because if you've ever seen my handwriting, writing something down would be terrible. It wouldn't do me any good. No, I didn't actually start writing anything down or keeping any kind of database until they started doing scripting it for television and movies. Then they're like, you know, we can't keep calling you 900 times a day asking you questions. So then I had to go back and go, okay, let's start writing down character descriptions and the timeline, and good Lord, there's a whole lot in it. So
yeah,
now there actually is a database and a Bible to it, but there really wasn't until a couple of years ago.
Did you do it all yourself, or did you get people to help you?
I did most of it, but we did have a couple of people join in and read through the books to double check my stuff, just to make sure I was right on it, and to add things to it. So, yeah, it's been a joint effort.
Do you find it useful now?
I don't ever go back and look.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You must have an amazing memory.
Well, I don't remember anything else. So, other than my children's birthdays, I walk through the house constantly going, I had a Coke a minute ago. Mm-hmm. And I see my Coke. Where did I put my shoes? If you've ever tried to get out of the house with me, my children just shake their heads. Because it's like, okay, shoes. I need shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my coat? Where am I going?
Yeah, been there. Sherilyn, is there anything I have not mentioned that you would like to talk about?
Just if you're running, keep going, man. Don't stop. Don't let anything stop you. Yeah. Over, under, around, or through.
That is definitely, that's why I started writing. That's why I started this show.
Yeah. Good job. Awesome. Yeah. I hate to see, you know, I've been doing this for so long and I've seen so many writers quit, and it absolutely breaks my heart. There's nothing I hate to see more.
Yeah. Well, I didn't ask a lot of my main questions because you have a wonderful resource on your website, which is SherilynKenyon.com, with like a complete area for writers answering a ton of questions. And so I'm just going to point people there because you've got so much good information there. And you're very, very kind and patient to come out with all of that. I mean, you've got information on your middle is sagging. How do you make it more interesting? I mean, you just got, it's very generous of you to come out with this thing, especially when you're writing, you know, umpteen books a year.
Well, and like I said, you know, my thing is writers need to support each other. You know, I don't understand why so many just get into that mindset of kill the competition. You know, mm-hmm. we're not in competition. You know, I've never known a reader yet who stopped reading a writer because another one came along.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's like, no, man, no. Yeah, we always need more writers. You know, the more books, the better.
Yeah, if we can turn somebody on to reading, they're not going to put down the book and go, okay, I'm done reading now. They're going to go, okay, where's another book?
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Absolutely. The more we got, the better. Always.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on I Should Be Writing, Sherilyn. The book is Stygian. I said it right that time, I think. And according to your site, your next book is At Death's Door, and it's coming in 127 days as of January 7th, which is today. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.